he'll be out this week, and we're taking it really, it's really day to day, and like every week we'll, you know, hopefully we'll see progress.
What did you, if he's not playing this week, want to see from him and what he did today?
We're working on everything, anything that has to do with pocket movements, footwork, things like that. Basically, you can do everything.
Shotgun, Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Yes! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
Courageous call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami!
Hello and welcome to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Tom Ernesty. Mike is going to get the day off tonight, so I am going to be your host for the show. I got a few things to get into today regarding, of course, the Miami Dolphins. We're going to open it right up with the injury report as it happened today. Danny Amendola, who so far this season pretty much has been limited on Wednesday, which is non-injury related. I believe it's just more of a day off for him. He was a full participant today. The big news is Frank Gore, not injury related, also did not practice. Don't believe it's anything related to injury. He should be 100% good to go for the game on Sunday against the Detroit Lions from Hard Rock Stadium. Ryan Tannehill was again limited in practice, but he did not throw. We're going to get touch base on the Ryan Tannehill situation here as soon as I finish this up. Devontae Parker's been a full participant for 2 straight days. Should be no reason why he doesn't play. He only played 4 snaps on Sunday against the Chicago Bears, which was surprising, but at the same time, he's still coming off a quad injury. So the 2 straight days of full participant is great news for Devontae Parker. Maybe he's going to be back to full speed for the game against the Lions. Jonathan Woodard is still in concussion protocol. He did not practice, which is not a good sign for him. If we recall, Laremy Tunsil practiced on a limited basis while he was in concussion protocol leading up to the Bears game. Woodard has not participated in any practice, so it doesn't look like it's going to be a good sign for him going into the game. This weekend, he may be sitting out, but we'll know more tomorrow when the concussion protocol, when he goes through his test and see if he's able to give it a shot on Sunday. Cameron Wake was also limited in practice. This is the 2nd straight day he has been limited. Adam Gase today in his press conference says, you know, Wake is a guy that's going to give it to him straight. He's going to tell him exactly what he is feeling and what his body is telling him, and if Wake says he's going to go, Gase is not going to give him the red light. They'll probably let Cameron Wake go. How much they use him, we'll find out. But tomorrow's going to be telling day. If Wake is a full participant in practice, the likelihood of him playing goes up exponentially. But we don't know yet. We'll find out as we get closer. The other big news is AJ Derby. 2 straight days has been a full participant in practice. Sunday, before the Bears game, he was on the field testing that foot out. He was running about 30 yards from goal line to 30, testing out that foot. It looks like he's on track to be back in the lineup for the Dolphins for the first time since week 2, which is great news for the Dolphins, as Nick O'Leary has definitely done a great job, but A.J. Derby is going to provide that little extra spark in the pass blocking game, run blocking game, as well as catching the football, which is why the Dolphins kept him around. Outside of that, everything else is pretty much status quo. Charles Harris is second straight day of a do not practice. He's got a calf injury. It does not look good for him going into this weekend's game, as he was 2 straight days of do not practice. I did mention Ryan Tannehill, and, you know, one thing I do want to get into here is, you know, with the injury related to Ryan Tannehill, we know it's his shoulder. We know what's going on with it at this point. He heard it against the Bengals, previously heard it against the Raiders, but heard it against the Cincinnati Bengals, where his arm was grabbed as he was trying to throw. And worst case scenario for the Dolphins at this point, they said surgery is not an option. It's going to be rest and rehab for him, just like they did with his knee. But, you know, without really understanding what's truly going on with his shoulder, you know, it could be anything significant. If it's significant enough where he's not able to lift his arm or throw it, that to me is telling me a labrum. I don't know that for fact. Don't quote me on it. I had a labrum tear in my shoulder. And when you can't lift your arm up to a certain point and you lose velocity and you can't throw a ball, labrum could be the problem. If it is a torn labrum, there's a chance that he can miss the rest of the season depending on the severity of the injury. But again, I don't know for fact if it is a labrum. I'm just speculating at this point. If it is serious enough, it could be a torn labrum, but our hope is that it's just a sprain and he just needs some rest. Nothing significant, nothing going on. The next piece of the Ryan Tannehill thing that I do want to get into real quick here is the reporting on it. You know, I was wrong 100%. You know, Five Reasons Sports Network and the 3 Yards Per Carry podcast, which is a part of the Five Reasons Network. They do a fantastic job. I love their shows. I know a lot of our listeners love their work as well. And they broke the Tannehill was doubtful news going into the weekend. I believe they first had it reported on Friday that it was very unlikely that Tannehill would play. Saturday, it gained more traction where the spread even went to -6 for the Bears. So the news definitely got out. And then, of course, Sunday we find out early in the probably around mid-morning that Tannehill is definitely out. The severity of the shoulder, we really don't know at this point. But Five Reasons Sports Network, you know, again, they do a fantastic job. They were truly the first to let everyone know, hey, this is, you know, big news. Ryan Tannehill is most likely not going to play. And the thing that really agitates me about the whole thing is these guys, you know, they bust their butt. They, you know, put out these tweets. They put out these articles and do not get the credit they deserve for finding this information out. You know, and I mentioned on Twitter yesterday, you know, that, you know, the national media in general, they just don't give a damn about the Miami Dolphins. You know, and when news breaks out of South Florida, you know, usually, you know, the NFL Network with Ian Rappaport and Adam Schefter at ESPN, and of course, you know, Cameron Wolf, who does a very great, very good job covering the Miami Dolphins for ESPN. This is not a knock towards him by any means. I think Cameron Wolf is a fantastic reporter. We are very fortunate that they ESPN moved him from the Titans to the Dolphins. And, you know, he does a great job for ESPN with the Miami Dolphins coverage. But Five Reasons Sports Network and 3 Yards Per Carry podcast had this, you know, right away, and they were the first to report it. And on top of that, they were the first ones to say that Tannehill is going to be likely out 2 to 3 weeks. And 2 to 3 weeks in Dolphins terms right now is this Sunday's game and obviously the Thursday game coming up against the Texans. So, and then they have 10 days off. So it's irritating and frustrating that these fan sites and the, you know, the people like us here at Dolphins Talk and Five Reasons, Fins Up Fans, all these different outlets that give you Dolphins opinions and news, when someone truly breaks news on something so significant like Ryan Tannehill, give the credit where credit is due. And at this stage of the game, everything that I've been seeing has been ESPN or Ian Rappaport or whoever in the national media believe they've taken that role. So unfortunately, that's just the nature of the beast. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, I have a friend of the show, Jeff Fox, joining me on the DolphinsTalk.com hotline, discussing all things Miami Dolphins going forward. He's also a Raiders fan, so I had to give a little bit of time so he can vent about John Gruden. But we're going to get into a lot of things Miami Dolphins, as well as continuing the conversation of the national media taking credit for five reasons breaking news on Ryan Tannehill not playing Sunday last week against the Bears, as well as the next 2 to 3 games going forward. We know he's going to miss this week against the Lions and the Texans. But we'll be right back with Jeff Fox after these words.
Simbad Sports is the number one sports memorabilia company in South Florida and the number one place to go get your Miami Dolphins memorabilia. Simbad Sports has the likes of Rashad Jones, Cam Wake, Kiko Alonso, and Frank Gore in for autograph signings within the past year alone. To win in South Florida area, visit Simbad Sports at 1976 South University Drive, Davie, Florida. Tell them DolphinsTalk.com sent you.
Me on the DolphinsTalk.com hotline is a very good friend of the show. It's his first time coming on the show as well, Mr. Jeff Fox from the Sports Brothers. Jeff, how you doing today?
Doing fantastic, man. Happy to join you guys, and this is a historic occasion, so happy to be a part of it, man.
Thank you for coming on. You know, for those that don't know the history of our website and Jeff Fox, Jeff found me on Twitter, Freeman and Fox, while he was with Freeman, reached out to me to join their show to talk Miami Dolphins football. And ever since then, you know, Jeff has been gracious to have me on his show multiple times talking Miami Dolphins. And, you know, we want to return the favor. We want to show the love to Jeff and want to get him on the show to get his perspective of the Miami Dolphins and how this season is going. So first and foremost, Jeff, give us a little background on yourself, what you do, and, you know, make sure you let our followers know where they can follow you so they can get all the details and information of what you're doing with your show, The Sports Brothers.
Yeah, you can follow The Sports Bros at The Sports Bros on Twitter. That's TheSportsBros. And you can also follow my show, The Jeff Fox Show, on Twitter at SBS Radio Network, and on Instagram at The Jeff Fox Show. I'm doing The Jeff Fox Show now with Lorenzo Thomas. He used to be a former 99 Jam shot. And, you know, we just keep it moving. E.W. Freeman is still around, but he's doing some other things. And eventually, we're just trying to keep the brand going. As you know, we started out at 790 The Ticket right after the George Sedano show. Actually, it was Colin Cowherd. We were coming on
that guy?
Colin Cowherd. Yeah. We would come on after Colin Cowherd, and we were sandwiched between Cowherd and Levitard on 790 The Ticket. So we really built a nice fan base in Miami, and we hopped around a few stations, WQAM, 640 WMEN. And as, you know, fate would have it, the internet was there, and it's free. So started doing the Sports Brothers and the Sports Brothers website at the www.thesportsbros.com. I do the Jeff Fox Show on Two Lives Two's Radio, which is available by the Spreaker app, and also X Squad Radio online as well. So we're all over the place, man. I love doing what I do, covering the Dolphins, covering the South Florida team, but still a Raider and a Laker at heart.
He certainly is, and Jeff and I went a little bit back and forth on the Raiders when the Dolphins played the Raiders. Let's really start things off. Let's talk about the Raiders real quick. Derek Carr signed to a huge contract. Mm-hmm. I believe it was last offseason, and John Gruden comes in. Derek Carr has been struggling in John Gruden's system, and what are your thoughts with Derek Carr, and do you see a future for him in Oakland or / Las Vegas?
No. I think Derek Carr's going to end up in New York playing for the Giants. That was the rumor I heard about today, and I believe it's going to happen. I don't think John Gruden is sold on Derek Carr. I almost wish the Raiders did not fire Jack Del Rio. I thought Jack Del Rio had the Raiders going in the right direction. Yeah, he had one bad season. We failed to make the playoffs, but I think we kind of jumped the gun in getting rid of Jack Del Rio, much like we jumped the gun in getting rid of Hugh Jackson when we had him in Oakland. And John Gruden, I think the game has passed John Gruden by. I think that was a bad move by the Raiders, but I get it. It was a business decision. They're moving to Vegas. They wanted to make a huge splash. So they get the one coach that, you know, I don't know how Chucky got his rep that he's this genius, but he's the one guy that was endeared to Raider fans over the years, and it was a great move PR-wise to bring him back. And then they also got rid of our radio play-by-play guy, and they hired Brett Musburger. So it's all about making a splash for Vegas. That's what this was. But in doing so, they killed our franchise. I mean, the Raiders were trending upwards. 2 years ago, the Raiders were one of the best teams in the NFL with a 12-4 record. Now they rank number 32 in the power ranking, last, dead last in the NFL. There's no excitement. There's rumors of the team tanking. He gets rid of Khalil Mack, and now rumors are that Derek Carr and Amari Cooper could be next to go. This is going to get ugly before it gets any better.
You know, and many of us Dolphins fans feel that there's always chaos with the Miami Dolphins every single year, quarterback, whatever it is, there's always drama. But, you know, honestly, there is a lot of drama going on in Oakland right now. And I think it would be a little bit of irony if the Raiders get a top two pick and select either Nick Bosa or Ed Oliver in the upcoming draft, defensive ends, when they had Khalil Mack, who's arguably the best defensive player in all of football.
Yep.
I don't understand the move. I don't think we'll ever understand the move or where Gruden's thinking really was with that. But, you know, at the end of the day, the Raiders got to play the hand that they're dealt, and they have to move forward. And for your sake, I hope they do a little bit better than what they've been doing now. But time will tell with the moves Gruden made and if it pans out long term. Let's get into some go ahead.
I was about to say, you know, the Raiders suffered for a long time. Raider fans suffered for a long time. I think we went 10 or 12 years without a winning record until Hugh Jackson got them at 8-8 one time. And then Jack Del Rio came and turned things around. And to see it go right back to nothing is very, very discouraging. And they have one of the best fan bases in all of football, worldwide Raider fans. And to see this going on with this team right now really, really hurts the core Raider fan. And yeah, I hope it does turn around. You know, you got to trust the process, I guess.
Oh, boy, the 76ers. Let's talk about the Miami Dolphins. We met in person on Sunday with the Bears in town. What were your thoughts on the game itself? Full five quarters, up and down, back and forth, affair, and the Dolphins prevail in the last second. What were your thoughts on Brock Osweiler as we approach Brocktober with Ryan Tannehill out?
Yeah, well, Brocktober fever has taken over South Florida. I mean, people seem to be happy with him for right now. But we've seen this movie before. We've seen it before, Tom, with Matt Moore coming in for the injured Ryan Tannehill and an infusion of energy into the Dolphin offense and excitement and people wondering if there's going to be a quarterback controversy and all this other stuff. Brock Osweiler is a journeyman quarterback. Let's face it. He's that. That's what he is. Ryan Tannehill, in my opinion, is average. But he is the best quarterback on the roster. I'm not sure what's going on with him. But he's, you know, word is he's going to be out, what, this game coming? Possibly the following Thursday, the short turnaround against the Texans. And maybe beyond that, I don't know what's going on with him. And I'm hearing that you guys were in hot water with the NFL for the way Osweiler got into the lineup last Sunday against the Bears. But I'll tell you what, and the Dolphins sitting now at 4-2. I'm trying to figure out who they are. Because we've been here before with this team. You guys know this. We've been here before where they've got everybody sold, that they turned the corner and they're ready to challenge the Patriots. And after seeing 38-7 in Foxborough and what Tom Brady was able to do against the Chiefs, I just don't know. What I do like with the Dolphins is the big play capability of Jakeem Grant and
Albert Wilson.
Albert Wilson, thank you. Our slot guy, Albert Wilson. Albert Wilson on a few plays this season has taken our short passes and turned them into 73 and 74-yard touchdown plays. And he's explosive. And that may be one of the best offseason acquisitions in Dolphin history. I mean, if he keeps this up. Because you look at Jarvis Landry, and Jarvis Landry would take those same passes that Albert Wilson is getting, those same opportunities, and turn them into maybe 15, 20-yard plays if they're lucky. Albert Wilson has game-breaking ability, great move, great acquisition by the Dolphins. And then you've got the downfield threat in Kenny Stills. They're starting to incorporate the tight ends a little bit more. I like the, what's his name, Nick O'Leary kid?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember him in college. He's a good up-and-coming young player. And this defense and the way they take away the ball, that's a great thing. That's a sign of a winning team, man. I just think that the Dolphins are flying under the radar. Nobody's taking them seriously. The Lions are 3-point favorites from what I understand. Nobody really believes in the Dolphins, especially after what happened in Foxborough. And I think that's perfectly fine because I think this team, when it's all said and done, will be a playoff team. And they're going to have to, you know, they're going to have to find the intestinal fortitude to prove all the naysayers wrong.
I agree with you 100%. They have to find a way to win these games. Brock Osweiler is not going to win every game for you.
Nope.
It's a proven fact. It's just not going to happen. You can't rely on him to throw 380 yards a game. But what you can rely on is 35-year-old Frank Gore, who still runs like he's 24. And the story of Frank Gore, we know it all. You know, in South Florida with the Hurricanes, he blew his knee out a couple times. Sat behind, you know, the likes of Clinton Portis and Edgerrin James and Willis McGahee. I mean, Frank Gore just had a lot of bad luck. He gets into the NFL, and he's just Mr. Consistency. And behind one of the worst offensive lines in football in Indianapolis last year, still created 1,000 yards of offense for that dreadful team without Andrew Luck. And he comes to Miami, and he had a huge game against the Chicago Bears, who came into the game the number one rushing defense in the NFL, and the Dolphins rolled him up for a total of 164 yards on the ground. What are your thoughts on Frank Gore, and do you believe that Frank Gore is going to continue to see the bulk of the carries with the team?
Absolutely. Why not? Frank Gore is the George Foreman of NFL running backs. You know, that's who he is. He's unbelievable, man. He runs hard. He always has run hard. And I think that if Adam Gates is doing the right thing and giving him the football and giving it to Kenyon Drake a little less because, again, you're right, he doesn't have the best offensive line, but because he runs so hard and he finishes his runs, you know, he's always going to lean forward at the end of those runs. He's just a punishing type runner, and that's what you want when you don't have a great offensive line. That's what you want. You want a guy that's going to, you know, finish those runs and run physical. And that's what I like about Frank Gore. I would keep him starting until the rest of the season. I think he gives a perfect balance to the passing game.
I agree again. His role in the offense is simple. Run the ball, get 4 or 5 yards, because Adam Gase says every single week we need to live 3rd and 6 or less. Well, Frank Gore is averaging almost five yards a carry this season for the Dolphins. And they found themselves in great positions last week against the Bears, where they converted 8 out of 17 third downs, where I don't remember the last time Ryan Tannehill converted 8 third downs in a single game. And Brock Osweiler did a very good job managing the system, managing the offense. But it starts with Frank Gore, and it starts with Kenyon Drake getting those, you know, those chunk plays in the ground game, 3, 4, 5, 6, or whatever yards that they've been doing. They have done it consistently now. They got away from it in the Bengals game, which, you know, when we sit here and look at it and we're sick to our stomachs, the Dolphins could be 5-1 if they got to close that game out in Cincinnati. Be in very good position because the schedule is favorable for the Dolphins going forward. This week's game is against the Lions. Matt Stafford is, of course, a very turnover-prone quarterback, but also still a very good quarterback. Do you believe that the Lions are going to try to attack the Dolphins through the air with Bobby McCain coming back to shut down Marvin Jones, and of course with Xavier Howard and Micah Fitzpatrick? I think the Dolphins match up great with the Lions. What are your thoughts going into this week's game against the Lions?
I'm very confident for the Dolphins to win this game against the Lions. I get it about Matt Stafford, but you're right, he's turnover prone. And I just think people are underestimating. The Dolphins defense hasn't been solid, but I like the fact that they bend, but they don't break, you know, and I like the fact that they've figured out a way to take the ball away. When you can take the ball away, man, you're going to win games, you know. And I think they have a problem covering the tight end at times on that defense. But, that I mean, judging from the last – I see this defense basically win games. They basically won the Chicago Bear game by taking the ball away twice in the red zone. They make things happen. And because they do that – I like that about them. To me, that's a formula for winning. That's a formula for winning. You know, you don't have to be great, just good enough. And I think right now they're just good enough.
Yeah, plus minus is important.
Yeah.
Yeah, the plus minus is very important in the NFL. And right now the Dolphins haven't coughed up the ball very much. But at the same time, even when they did this past week, they had 3 turnovers. But they forced – multiple turnovers also by the Bears, and I believe it was also 3. Right. So they're an opportunistic defense. We see it in the secondary. You know, TJ McDonald's having a career year. Micah Fitzpatrick, who is a first-round rookie, is playing like a veteran, like he's been doing this for the last 4 years. He's just been fantastic. The one player that I want to bring up is a guy on defense who – many last year wrote him off and called him trash. He's awful. Kiko Alonso is having an absolute all-pro season, forcing, I believe it's 3 fumbles, forced fumbles. Yep. He's recovered 1 or 2 of them. And he has 2 interceptions. He's all over the place. Do you believe he's the MVP on this team right now?
The MVP, who do I believe is the MVP? Is that what you asked?
Do you believe Kiko Alonso is the team's MVP right now as we sit going into week 7?
Yeah, I would give him that. He's not my favorite defender on the team, but he's been Johnny on the spot. I mean, he's made things happen. He's made, you mentioned it, the three forced fumbles have all been big, and they've been, you know, game-type changing plays. So, He's been the guy so far, but I think ultimately the guy that's going to be the star and the MVP for this defense is going to be Xavier Howard. I think he's an all-pro. He's a superstar in the making. He basically turned around the Oakland Raider game, you know, with that huge interception against the Raiders in the end zone. And, you know, the thing with this Dolphin defense also isn't the amount of turnovers they get, but it's when they get them. How many turnovers have you guys had in the end zone or in the red zone for that matter?
I think it has to be at least 5 at this point.
Yes. Those are game-winning, game-changing type plays, and if that keeps happening, that tells me that you're just trending in the right direction, that you've got that I don't know what it is, that momentum or whatever, that you just think that you're getting all the right bounces. And it's equating to winning football games. And that's why the Dolphins are 4-2. And basically, they have to be one of the surprises in the league so far. Because if you told me the Miami Dolphins would start off the season at 4-2, tied with the New England Patriots, at least record-wise, for first place, I would have told you you were crazy.
You've called me crazy a couple times on your show. one thing I love about recording with a guest on, I just had some breaking news come across my phone that there is some ramping up and speculation coming out of Miami that the Miami Dolphins are really trying to move Devontae Parker before the trade deadline. Is actually coming from Ian Rappaport. Parker only played 4 snaps on Sunday, and the one big play, he kind of looked sluggish on the interception late. It was a little underthrown ball by Brock Osweiler, but Parker's got to do something to keep the ball in the team's possession late in the second half by, you know, offensive pass interference, stop him from catching the ball to at least have a chance. Another big bust in the first round.
He's been a huge disappointment. Huge disappointment. Going into the season, everybody thought this would be his breakout year. That, you know, he would step up and become a number one receiver that they all thought he would be. But, yeah, his time is done here. I've heard that since the beginning of the season. This guy's never available. He's always hurt. And I think the team has given up on him, quite frankly.
It seems like they have. And Adam Gase is just frustrated with, you know, his conditioning. You know, there's been a lot of reports that at night he sits down and plays video games till the all hours of the morning and eats chicken nuggets at 2 a.m. It's just not what a professional athlete does. And Kenny Stills tried to lead him in the right direction. Listen, injuries happen. Nagging injuries happen. Sometimes it's just not the guy's fault. Your human bodies are not made to play professional football. Period. End of story. These guys are machines when it comes to it, but sometimes guys' bodies just break down, and it seems like in Devontae Parker's case, his time is coming to an end here in Miami. What they could get for him at this point without any value with him this year, I have no idea, but there's going to be $9.3 million coming out of the books for the Dolphins when they release him in the offseason, most likely. One other real quick topic I want to get into, and it really has to do with, and I covered a little bit earlier on the show, Jeff, is the lack of respect for, you know, smaller sites, smaller, you know, sites like ourselves, but Five Reasons Sports Network based out of South Florida and Miami, who cover, you know, all the major, you know, teams down there. They were the first to break the news on Tannehill being out on Sunday. They were the first to break the news that he's going to be out most likely for the next 2 games as well, forcing, you know, 3 weeks of no games. And it seems the national media that picked up on the story has given no credit whatsoever to Five Reasons. What are your thoughts with the national media not giving credit where credit's due?
It's happened before. Ethan Skolnick, who started Five Reasons podcast, a good friend of mine, very good friend of mine, and I'll be working with them at some point on Five Reasons once we figure out a few ways of being able to contribute there. But because I love what they're doing, I believe in what they're doing, and Ethan has seen it before. I mean, let's face it, ESPN for many years was known for taking credit for breaking stories where they found the information elsewhere. And Ethan, quietly, or maybe not so quietly, has assembled an all-star cast, I think, of local guys that are fully capable of breaking news stories and doing it the right way. And he's kind of come at the mainstream broadcasters somewhat. You know, he's called them out. And I love what he's doing. He's kind of stirring things up down here, you know, and they're not going anywhere anytime soon, you know, much like you saw a huge company like The Athletic come aboard and just snatch all the media talent from everywhere. Five Reasons, and the way Ethan and these guys are being built, They're doing it from a grassroots approach. They go in and they're just getting guys that normally would not get an opportunity and guys that can really contribute, and they're giving them that opportunity. So I certainly salute Eason and what he's doing. And the hell with the mainstream media. Yeah, they get disrespected. But you know what? They're gonna be the ones, I think, standing when it's all said and done.
I think that's, you know, and I tweeted it out yesterday that, you know, the sites like, you know, DolphinsTalk.com, Five Reasons, the 3 Yards Per Carry podcast, the Finsiders, all these great Miami Dolphins sites with passionate people giving information and opinions on the football team. You just don't get it from the national media. And obviously, no disrespect to Cameron Wolf. He does a fantastic job covering the Dolphins for ESPN. But the national media just does not give a damn about the Miami Dolphins. And it's really up to the smaller sites and the smaller groups of people that are just starting to really ramp up and build up to give the fans the news and give the information because it's really not out there. So, you know, tip of the cap for those guys that, you know, for breaking that news, but it's just frustrating to see that their hard work just goes unnoticed. And it's,
it sucks. Tip of the cap for you guys. Typically capture you guys the Dolphins Talk, because it's one of the reasons I always went to you for information, for stories, because you guys were legit. I didn't need to call ESPN. I didn't need to call the Sporting News or USA Today or Fox Sports or any of those other type cats. All the talent was right here. Everybody I needed was within earshot, you know, and I'm happy that we have the association. I definitely got to run because I got some stuff I got to get into here. But before I got to get out of here, I just want you to know, man, that I'm happy that we work together. I'm happy that we got to meet at the Bears game. And if you notice, I was telling everybody that would listen, including Big O, who knows you already, listen, these guys are a hidden gem. But you won't be a hidden gem for too much longer because everybody's going to know about you guys.
I appreciate that, man. Last thing before I let you go, your daughter is a rising star in music. Give a little detail on her, where they could find her, and I'll definitely play a clip at the end of the show and let everyone know that they could find her music.
Yeah. Check out on Instagram and Twitter at Yelya, the artist. That's YelYaHthe ARTIST, Yelya the artist. That's Haley spelled backwards because that's the name I gave her at birth, but she flipped it. And she calls herself Yelya. She's got a hot new single, It's a Party, that came out like midway through the summer. It's getting played on a lot of hip-hop and R&B radio stations and in the clubs here in Miami. And she's always writing and producing new stuff. I think she's well on her way, man. She's quite gifted. She's got the gifts of gab. Which I guess she got from me since I talk so much, but she's definitely better looking and a better rapper and a better singer than I ever was. So, certainly, man, I appreciate all the support from everyone that follows the Sports Brothers and the Jeff Fox Show for supporting my daughter, Yelya, as well.
Awesome, man. I appreciate you coming on. We're going to do this more often going forward, but go take care of everything you got to do, and I appreciate your time. I'd like to thank Jeff Fox for joining me on the show tonight. I really appreciate everybody listening in to this show tonight. Mike will be back tomorrow with another show, DolphinsTalk.com Daily. Be sure to check us out every day at DolphinsTalk.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at DolphinsTalk. And please follow me on Twitter at TErnisse13. That's TErnisse13. On Twitter. Feel free to follow me. I offer a lot of opinions on the Miami Dolphins. Feel free to, you know, give me a shout out if you have any questions for the show. But again, we'll be here on Sunday morning for a countdown to kickoff. We're going to be back at that, as Mike and I were both at the game on Sunday covering the game. So we did not have a kickoff show, but I will be back with that kickoff show for Sunday morning, leading us up to kickoff for the Detroit Lions. And the post-game wrap-up show will follow shortly thereafter with Mike and myself going over the game in detail and venting our frustrations or celebrating our successes. We're going to give it to you on the post-game wrap-up show here at DolphinsTalk.com. Thank you again for listening. I'm out. Fins up. Let's go.
pull up on you looking real good tonight. Everything's good tonight. And he got me feeling real good tonight. Got me doing 80 in a 60 ticket. I promise if you're with it, then I'm with it. It's in it, I ain't trying to be committed. Nah, 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 nah. I'm just trying to bum, 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 bum. Tonight I don't even care. Got my cup on in the air. Speeding in a fast car. Boom, 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 like a NASCAR. Tell her, baby, I ain't worried about your last bride. Trying to get $1 million in the backyard. Snakey, so I left him in the... Snakey, so I left him in the backyard. It's a party, it's a party, it's a party.